Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. As Americans return to work in the new year, many will soon see the results of the Republican tax plan signed into law by President Trump in their paychecks. Starting in February, typical middle-class workers should see a bump in their take-home pay of anywhere from $500 to over $1,000 a year. But Evan Horowitz, who writes the Quick Study column at the Boston Globe, says tax cuts are fine as far as they go, but he says middle-class Americans would benefit a lot more from a pay raise. He joins me now, as he does on a regular basis, to talk data and his latest column entitled Tax Cuts Are No Substitute for Pay Raises. Evan, hello.
Hello.
And thank you for coming in.
No, it's great to be here. No snow to fight with. Not too much time out in the cold.
Just the cold we hear. And there's only going to, when they start talking about it, it's going to soon be warming up to freezing. You know it's cold, right?
I know. I'm looking forward to a couple of days above 30 degrees, just like everybody else.
There we go. It'll happen. So, even the middle class will benefit from the Republican tax bill in 2018. What gains will the middle class see from this bill? Give us a sense.
So, I mean, there's so much opposition to this bill that I think people have lost sight of this basic fact that most people actually will see a tax break in the early years, and a non-trivial tax break, something on the order, changing their take-home pay by something like 1.5%. That's not nothing.
Right.
And the biggest reasons for that are lower tax brackets, like they've lowered the tax brackets, a bigger child tax credit for families, and also some trickle down of the corporate tax cuts. Maybe not a lot of trickle down, but some trickle down.
So you've done some numbers. So talk about the typical middle class family, what that means in terms of what they earn and what they would see extra in their paycheck.
So I don't know if it's exactly typical, but you know, one way to run the numbers just to say you earn $80,000 a year. Right now, you pay taxes amounting to about $25,000, so your take-home pay is about $55,000. Under this plan, your take-home pay will jump to, well, about $56,000. Is that a huge increase? No. People will take $1,000, I think. I would take $1,000 if offered it at no cost. But you can do a lot better than that.
Yeah.
That's the thing. So you have to hold these two ideas in your head at the same time. One, no, the plan isn't an unmitigated disaster for workers in the middle class at the beginning of years. Two, there are a lot better things you could do for workers in the middle class.
Right. And the point you make in this column is that a pay raise is better because it benefits from the idea of compounding year over year, year after year. Right?
Yeah. So, I mean, if we could increase wage growth, like right now, we're in an economy that seems to be doing really well. Unemployment is extremely low. But wages aren't rising that fast. They've been rising somewhere between 2 and 2.5% a year for most people. That's not what you would expect in an economy at this stage. So if we could boost that, then you're talking not just about a gain of 1 year. You're talking about a raise this year and a slightly bigger raise next year and then another raise the year after.
So a raise on top of the raise on top of the raise.
On top of a raise.
Yeah.
And you know, just to run the numbers on it, that difference between 2.5%, which is sort of where we are, and 3.5%, which is where we should be, amounts to about $700 missing dollars every year. That's dollars you're not getting in your paycheck because wages aren't growing fast enough. And it's $700 this year, and thus $1,400 the year after, and $2,100. And that underestimates it because actually, as you say, there's also this compounding effect. So that's nice, and it builds on itself, and the tax cuts don't work like that. The tax cuts give you $1,000 that first year, which sounds like it's more than $700. Well, it is. But in that second year, it's actually less than $1,000, and the raises are $1,400. In that third year, it's a little less than $1,000, and the wages would have been $2,200 or $2,100. So, yeah, raises have a much bigger short, medium, and long-term impact than this tax cut's going to have.
Well, I mean, one of the arguments in favor of this restructuring of the tax codes that Republicans made is that it would sort of trickle down from the top, right, as corporate profits increase. I mean, is there evidence that that does happen?
I don't know about evidence. There's a story. There's a plausible story behind it. The plausible story works something like this. You cut taxes for corporations. That's right. That's the biggest part of this bill. We're cutting the corporate tax from 35% to 21%. And therefore, corporations have more money. Mm-hmm. And where does that money go? It's got to go somewhere. It doesn't all go into the pockets of owners. Some of it gets reinvested. Some of it will go to workers. And if it's reinvested, maybe it's reinvested in, like, I don't know, really productive things like robots. And if you have more robots around, then the workers actually get more productive. They can make more money. So there's a plausible story here. But there's not much real-world evidence for it. Most independent people who've looked at this, and I'm not talking about, like, you know, left-wing think tank looks at it. I'm talking about The Penn Wharton budget model, that's run by a guy from the George W. Bush administration. The Tax Policy Center, that's centrist folks at Brookings. They see some boost to economic growth early, so maybe a little wage growth early, but then trickling down to basically nothing, no impact on the long-term economy after a few years. And so, no, if you're not getting a big economic boost out of this, there's no trickling down. There's nothing that can trickle down.
Mm. Well, let's hear some tape here, because as we mentioned, Republicans have promised that tax cuts cuts to the corporate tax rates will lead companies to hire more workers. So here's Paul Ryan, the Republican Speaker of the House, on the Today Show after the bill was passed.
The surveys of businesses like the National Association of Manufacturers surveys would show the vast majority of businesses are going to do just what we say, reinvest in their workers, reinvest in their factories, pay people more money.
So, Evan, here's my question about that. I mean, you were talking about that before we played that cut, but it's not like we haven't been down this road before. I mean, Ronald Reagan had a big tax cut and trickle down was supposed to work. And then George W. Bush, big tax cut. I mean, can't we just look at history and say, did it work or didn't it work?
Yes, we can. And it didn't work. I mean,
okay. The
one reason that the modelers are finding that there won't be a big effect is precisely because they're doing what you're suggesting.
Yeah.
They look back at the empirical results and they say, well, after the 86 tax reform, was there a boost to wages? No, wages went down. For Paul Ryan to be right, you'd need sort of two factors. One, workers would have to have the power to bargain for some of these gains, mm-hmm. right? That is, employers have more money. Are they going to keep it? Are they going to distribute it? If there were more unions, if workers had more bargaining power, they could bargain for some of that. But actually, that's gotten weaker over time. The other is, you'd have to have a situation where companies felt constrained right now. Like, oh, they want to make investments, but they don't have the cash to do it. And if only they had the cash. But that's not the situation we're in. Profits are actually quite high. Companies aren't investing because they don't see investment opportunities, not because they lack for money to make these kinds of investments. So there might be a situation where this kind of tax cut would have a big stimulative impact, but it's not the situation we're in right now. Mm. This is not a tax cut tailored to the specific problems of the American economy what year is it now? 2018.
2018, I had to think for a moment as well.
2018.
I was thinking, what's wrong with them? Everyone knows it's 2017. But no, 2018. So if higher paychecks are really what the middle class needs over tax cut, what needs to be done? I mean, what are the sort of one or two drivers that will get wages up, in your view?
Okay, the biggest thing, I mentioned bargaining power. That's a long-term thing.
Yeah.
If we could fix workers' bargaining power, that would make a big difference. There's really no push for that right now and no hope for it. What there is a possible hope for is for the Fed to move slowly in their efforts to raise rates. We are, I think, because of this tax cut, as I said, going to see some economic stimulus this year. That's going to encourage the Fed to raise interest rates faster than they want to. But faster interest rates, that means slower economic growth. That hurts the labor market, like intentionally, because they're worried the economy is going to overheat. And that will curtail any chance of wage growth. So if you want wage growth, let the economy overheat for a little while, at least until there's some sign that it really is overheating, that there's inflation, that there's something dangerous. As long as there's no sign that anything dangerous is going on, let the economy overheat for a while. That should generate wages, better wages.
All right. Evan Horowitz writes the Quick Study column for the Boston Globe, and he joins us every other Tuesday to talk about data and other interesting things. Evan, thank you so much for coming in.
I mean, I joined somebody every other Tuesday. It's nice to join you.
It's always a pleasure.